Previously on Talk to Dad.
Sometimes I'm called father too.
I once tried like raw rhubarb. Talk about pie
talk
to
about
dad.
Pie talk.
Talk to dad about pie.
Yes.
That was a stupid joke.
it was a dad joke. That's what yes. It was.
No, I don't know a lot of Greggs. Yeah, it's hard to say whether this is like some sort of product of like insanity from lockdowns, or maybe it's like an artistic statement.
I would love to play for plants if I played an instrument, which I don't.
When I was your age.
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 207. I've got Henry here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, Henry?
Pretty good.
It is July 5th.
We're getting
this podcast in this week because we kind of had a busy weekend. Usually we record it on, well, lately, since the pandemic, it seems like we're usually recording it on Saturday. And then I edit it and post it Sunday morning. But here we are Sunday afternoon. And I still have not finished the podcast. We're just starting it right now, in fact. Mm-hmm. It was kind of weird. Like, I had Friday off because it was a holiday. But I wasn't feeling really great. I was just, and I don't know, of course, anytime during the pandemic when you feel a little off, you're like, oh no, is this it? Is this the big one? But I didn't really have any of the symptoms of the dreaded COVID. It started the night before and I woke up and I felt really dizzy. And I got out of bed because I needed to use the bathroom. And it was like, I felt like I was going to fall over. I had to like go from object to object.
That actually happened to me like, I think it was last week when I had my first voice lesson, which, by the way, I had my first voice lesson. Like, towards the end, I started feeling kind of dizzy. I think it might just be air quality.
You think it's air quality?
I think it is.
I think it could have been several things. I mean, maybe we both got kind of sick. And when I hear that you had it also, I think, well, maybe it's something, you know, not COVID, but something else that just...
I only had it for a few minutes before taking Pepto-Bismol.
Well, I had it at night, and then I woke up with it, and I had it, like, most of the day on Friday. I just wasn't feeling right. I was just felt like... I was fine if I just kind of sat down or laid down, but whenever I got up, I just felt like I was dizzy, kind of a rush to the head. I felt like I was going to fall over. I never fell over, for the record.
Good.
But yeah, it was weird. And so I think I was planning on podcasting on Friday, but it just didn't happen because I was just out of it all day. I think it could have been that I was sick. I think it could have also been that I was just exhausted and maybe dehydrated because usually I don't drink enough water. I just go with Coke Zero all the time.
Yeah.
Which is probably not a good thing to do. I don't recommend it. As a father giving advice, don't do what I do. Someday I picture you with a giant Coke Zero and you just look at me and say, I learned it from you, Dad. But don't do that.
Luckily, I drink plenty of water,
yeah,
I think.
Drinking water is really good. But if you're dehydrated, that can cause dizziness. Or it could just be, you know, I've been stressed out and exhausted. And I think I was just kind of exhausted. And I think that might have just been, sometimes your body just breaks down when you haven't got enough sleep and you're too stressed out.
Yeah.
So I think it might have just been that. I just needed a day to just, I don't know, recharge. And the next day I felt fine. And it's good because it was the 4th of July and it was Elizabeth's birthday.
Yeah, Elizabeth was actually supposed to like stay overnight like on the 3rd, like the day that you're feeling sick, and then have her birthday party like on the 4th. But you weren't feeling well, so that never actually happened.
Yeah. So instead she came... I think the idea was, I texted her right before I went to bed and said, hey, if I'm feeling better in the morning. We didn't want to have her birthday, and she wanted to have a couple of friends over. Not a big party, just a couple of her closest friends over. And they were going to stay overnight and then have waffles in the morning with us, as is our pandemic tradition. Mm-hmm. But instead, I texted Elizabeth at night and said, hey, if I'm feeling better in the morning, do you want to come over and you can still have waffles for brunch? And everyone was kind of slow getting up, so I don't think we had brunch until like noon, but I guess
at that
still
point
counts
it was just lunch.
Because, well, but it's breakfast food for lunch, so
yeah,
it sort of counts, right?
I don't know, it just seems like a lot of times when people will say brunch, they mean like in between breakfast and lunch, which
yeah, like
I always found a little
11 o'clock
weird.
10 to 11 somewhere in there seems like when people eat brunch. But But it was good. So she came over. We had our waffles. They were tasty. We had a little bit of a get together. We also got to watch Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. That was really good.
Yeah. So Hamilton, I think everybody knows it got released on Disney Plus. So it's like they filmed the stage musical with the original cast with Lin-Manuel Miranda and David Diggs and I'm trying to remember the name of the guy who plays. It's escaping me at the moment. The guy who plays Aaron Burr. I'll think of it later. Yeah,
it
but anyway.
It was actually really good.
It was really good.
It's my first time seeing it.
Yeah. So. And Mom and I saw in the theater when it came to... Is it bad the way I say theater? I got mocked by my coworkers once.
Theater. It's theater, not theater. No.
I don't know why I say theater. It's a weird thing that I say. I know it's theater, but that just doesn't sound right to me. Anyway, we saw it when it came on the touring show to Dallas, but our seats were like way in back. Mm-hmm. And so we couldn't really see the stage that well. It sounded good. The sound was good and it was fun to see it live, but
yeah, I heard about that.
It was cool to see the original cast on Disney Plus. They did a really good job of filming it.
Yeah, they did. Like they had like multiple like shots and stuff.
Lots
it was
of cameras
really cool.
And it was edited really well.
And I like how like in the play they had like the rotating bits of the stage. That was really cool.
Yeah, and that was the same when we saw it. They had that this stage setup was exactly the same. The costumes were the same, but different cast. And yeah, it was cool the way that when they do Hamilton, they have like there's a rotating stage, but then there's a part of the stage that can rotate the other direction. So they can do movement
like
really
layers.
Well. And yeah. It's really what did you think of Hamilton other than it was pretty good?
It was really good.
Yeah. You've heard some of the music before, right?
Yeah, I have. A lot of it. I'm trying to think of something to say. Oh, yeah. Like, I like how they didn't even, like, do any scene changes. They just left it, like, as the same scene, but they, like, made it so that it looked like different scenes. That was really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. So they didn't have to, like, go off stage. It was all the same set the whole way through. And I think one thing I noticed when I watched it is there's no dialogue. Did you notice that?
I did.
I mean, there might be like, I guess they rap in it, so it's sort of like spoken, but it's like songs all the way through. They don't take a break and like the actors don't just have like big monologues or anything. It's
the entire thing is completely
music
in
the
music.
The entire time.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of cool. And normally, I don't know, like unless the music's really good, I don't know that you'd want that, but the music is really good. So it works really well.
Yeah, especially in the first act.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the things I noticed when I watched it live, and I was noticing that again when we were watching it. On Disney Plus is it's really front loaded. Like right as it begins, there's like a half an hour of just the most awesome music, like all of the really good, not all of it. I mean, it's all good, but especially the first half of the first act is just really good music, like really exciting. Really. It just kind of sucks you in right from the beginning.
Yeah.
So that was cool. It was cool to be able to watch Hamilton.
It was.
Up in our media room and what else did we do? It was, so we had Elizabeth's birthday and we grilled hamburgers, which is feels like kind of a 4th of July thing to do. And I think grilling hot dogs or hamburgers for some reason just feels right on the 4th of July.
It feels very American.
Doesn't it? And yeah, Elizabeth was actually born on the 4th of July, right about the time fireworks were going off.
Yeah. So we got to also do some fireworks.
Yeah, Elizabeth, there was a little fireworks stand that's just kind of up the road from us. Our city doesn't really allow fireworks, but there's a fireworks stand that's like right outside the city. And Elizabeth really wanted to, so she went and bought some fireworks.
Yep.
And we got to, you guys got to, I was at home. I was kind of exhausted by that. I think even though I was feeling much better, I was kind of exhausted by the end of the day yesterday.
But yeah, we got to do some fireworks, which was pretty fun. I mean, not like actual like big fireworks, but like
just some little ones that spark and make
that was pretty cool.
Make little booms and stuff. Which firework did you like the best?
I don't really know. I mean, the poppers are always fun.
So your friend had really good fireworks, I hear.
Oh yeah, my friend who just this couple blocks down was also there, so he joined them, and they had some pretty cool ones.
Yeah. And another thing that happened since last time we had a podcast, I think, was it last podcast? I think it was last podcast. Might have been the podcast before we talked about a study that was done about COVID about how certain blood types seem to have more severe cases of COVID than others.
Mm-hmm.
Like the A blood type has more severe and the O blood type has less severe. And it turns out that I am O positive and your mom is A positive. She thought she was AB positive, but we've got to correct that on the podcast. She found out looking at her blood donation record, she's actually A positive. So that means that our kids are either O or A.
Oh no, wait.
I'm hoping for I'm hoping for all your sake that you are A or O, and that you're O, not A, because, you know.
So basically, you should be concerned about COVID no matter what, but especially mom should be concerned.
Yeah, apparently. Although maybe it all balances out because men get it much worse than women for some reason that they don't quite understand. It's really weird. It is really weird, and kids don't get it hardly at all. So you don't have much to worry about that way. But when we were talking about that story, when we were talking about this study that came out, we mentioned at the end of the story, one of the scientists said, or one of the experts said, yeah, I mean, this stuff is interesting, but the one thing I want you to know about blood type is you should be donating blood because despite the fact that there's a pandemic, there's still a really good need to donate blood. So mom signed us up as a result of that at a local blood center. And this morning, William, mom and I went and donated blood.
I wasn't able to because I'm under the age of 16.
Because you're too young. Will, you want to come talk about your experience giving blood? William's just in the other room, so I'm going to have him come in here. We don't know what blood type William is, but hopefully we will find out. So this morning, we all went and got poked in the arm. Well,
yeah.
Sort of. We all got poked in the finger first. Do you want to tell us? Maybe, William, you can just tell us what the experience was like.
Well, it was, so I walked into the doctor's office, not the doctor's office.
It's a blood care center is what it was.
Yeah, I walked in, I filled out a little questionnaire, and at the end it told me to notify staff, which was super awkward, because I was like, do I just, like, go out into the office and just announce, like, hey, I need someone to come to me, or like...
They asked you a lot of very personal questions.
Yeah.
all of which the answer was no.
Yeah, and I feel like if I answered yes on some of them, then I would, like, get arrested instantly.
I don't think they arrest you, but they do want to know if you're leading a risky lifestyle that would cause your blood to become contaminated.
Yeah.
They took us all into, like, this little office first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was someone asking questions, and then they poked our finger. And do you remember what the finger poke was for?
I do not.
It was so they could measure the levels of iron in your blood and see if you're anemic.
Mm.
And only two of us passed. Mom did not pass that test. She was slightly anemic, and so she didn't get to give blood.
Wait, what does anemic mean?
It means you don't have enough iron in your blood.
Oh, okay.
So they said, you know, you're just barely below. Just reschedule it and take some iron pills, and you'll probably be able to give blood next time you come in. But Mom did not get to give blood this morning. But William and I did.
Yeah.
And then what happened after they leave the little office?
Right before we left, the person who was, like, filling it out asked me, like, so, do you play that much video games? And I was like, eh, not really. And they said, like, oh, really? Do you watch anime? And I was like, no, not at the moment.
Yeah, the guy...
actually, like, super disappointed.
The guy who was asking me questions, too, I think they were probably friends. Because he was like, I'm so excited because after I get off work, I'm going to go play D&D for the first time in a long time. And he was also telling me that he's like into anime. And because he was asking me if I'd ever, one of the questions they ask you is, how many countries have you visited in the last 3 years outside of the United States and Canada? And of course, I told him Japan. And he was like, oh, Japan would be really cool because I'm like really into anime and I'm kind of a geek. I think I'd really like Japan.
That might have been the same person. I got two different people total.
Oh, yeah. Maybe one of them was the same person. But then you come out of the office and they make you lay down in this kind of chair. It's sort of like a half chair, half bed.
Mm.
A little bit like what you would sit down in when you go to the dentist office. It's like all sitting back. And there are armrests.
So like a slightly less comfortable bed?
Kind of. I mean, it was fairly comfortable, but it's more like a chair.
Yeah.
And over on the in the corner of the room, there was a TV, and it was playing some movie about Vin Diesel fighting witches.
I was trying to figure out what movie that was.
Vin Diesel being a witch slayer. I don't know what movie it was. I was going to look it up, but I haven't. But it looked kind of silly. but they ask you which arm you want to have your blood drained from. And they kept calling themselves vampires. Like, my guy kept saying, I'm your clinical vampire. Because that was like his go-to joke, I think, working the blood care center. They ask you which arm you wanted poked. And so I told him my left arm because I'm right-handed. I noticed, William, you told him your right arm.
Yeah,
because you're left-handed.
Which we weren't really doing anything anyways, so.
Yeah. So I sit down there, and this other technician comes, and she's like, all right, I'm going to... And they, like, try to find a vein. They clean off the area. They kind of poke you with a little stick, I guess, to mark the area. Mm-hmm. But I swear that hurt almost as much as the needle going in.
The needle
did actually hurt a little bit, but...
A little bit. Kind of like a pinching. Like, if someone came up and pinch you...
Yeah.
Like a little bit hard.
The finger pricks. I forgot how the finger pricks like don't hurt at all.
I thought that hurt a little bit because like the prick part didn't hurt that much, but then they kind of like squeeze your finger a little bit to get the blood out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just a little bit. Not a lot. Not enough to complain about, really.
I don't know.
When I was sitting there and she was sticking a needle, she stuck a needle into my right arm. And then she's like, huh. And I look over, there's like no blood coming out. So there's a needle and it's connected to like this tube. And when the blood starts to flow, you can see it's just this red going down the tube. But she sticks it in. She's like, It's like, so obviously she just missed my vein. Like, like I have no blood in my arm and this arm. And she's like, well, all right. Well, is it okay if I try your other arm? I was like, sure. And then she made someone else do it. I think because she was a little concerned she'd mess it up again. Mm. So she got one of the other technicians, actually the guy that told me he was going to go play D&D. And he comes over and he's looking at my arm and he's tapping it and trying to find a vein. And
then that's when he realized that you don't have blood and you're actually a zombie.
Yes. That's when he realized I'm a zombie. But he's like, well, yeah, I think this is one. And then he actually called someone else over and he said, and wanted to confirm with her, a different person, like a third person. He's like, is this a vein? She's like, yeah, that's a vein. And he pulls out the needle again, sticks me. And this time the blood comes out. And he told me the blood was actually going pretty good. Like it filled up the bag really quickly. It's weird. They've got you hooked up to this thing. They've got a tube coming out of your arm, but then it's kind of, there's a little blood bag and it's on this little rocking machine. Did you see the rocking machine, Will?
Yeah, that was weird.
It's like next to you and it like every so often it rocks, I guess, to keep the blood moving around.
Oh yeah, I guess that's why.
So it doesn't like, I don't know, clot or something.
I hope that the next needle that gets stuck in me will be a COVID vaccine. I don't know how realistic that is, though.
That's a good thought. I like that thought.
Yeah.
One of the things that was interesting was if you give blood, they do a COVID antibodies test for free.
Oh, cool.
Oh.
So in 2 weeks, I asked him how long it takes, and he said in 2 weeks they'll tell you, and you can know. The best thing to do is to get test positive for COVID antibodies. Because that means that without knowing it, you somehow have already had it and your body has immunity to it. Like somehow you came in contact with COVID and your body developed antibodies for it.
It's just so creepy.
I think it's probably unlikely anyone in our family has antibodies, but it'd be really cool if we did.
It is really creepy to think like how many people either currently or already at some point got COVID.
Yeah, it's really creepy at the moment because cases are spiking a lot, especially like in Texas and a few other states.
Florida
and Arizona and North Carolina and California and Utah, places, certain states, they're really spiking right now. They've seeing the most increase in cases they've seen so far. So that is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I read a news story about how there's some new virus discovered in I think it was somewhere in Asia, like in Russia, maybe.
Yeah, that has...
And all the comments were like, man, this is a great year.
Yeah, I saw one, too, that was like a new flu that was discovered in pigs in China.
And they said it had, like...
Pandemic potential.
Like,
no.
I'm sure we'll be fine. I think it will fizzle out. I think we'll be fine.
I was telling Mom that the thing that Mom and I were talking about this, that I think the thing that's difficult for me right now about the pandemic is like the novelty is completely worn off. I think William's going to go back to doing what he was doing. See you, Will.
Yes. Bye.
Bye. The thing that makes it kind of difficult is the novelty is worn off. Like at the beginning, there was something like, it was still hard and it still kind of sucked. But the idea that, well, this is different and it's new and it's, while it sucks, it's kind of like weird and interesting in a way. Kind of like how it is like when there's like a blizzard and you're stuck at home because of a snowstorm. You're like, yeah, but this is kind of cool. And or like, you know, there's like a, even when there's like a tornado watch. I mean, it wouldn't be the same if like a tornado hit your house. But the fact that there's like interesting weather going on, it's kind of exciting and kind of fun.
But the thing is, now it's been 5 months.
Yeah. And I think like for the first few weeks or maybe even the first month, it kind of felt like that. It's like, this is weird, but it's also kind of fun. And everybody's at home and we're just... We're thinking of interesting ways to make it interesting. But that novelty has worn off.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing sort of novel and interesting about it anymore. And now you're just like, can't we just go back to normal?
Unfortunately, we can't because cases are spiking.
We just can't. Like until they get a vaccine or figure out like some awesome treatment or the cases just start to go away.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not there yet. And yeah, that kind of sucks. Let's stop talking about the pandemic because it's depressing. Let's do some news. Let's do some non-pandemic news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I find this exciting. There is a comet that has appeared in the sky. I don't know why I find this exciting. I just think it's interesting. And not only is there a comet in the sky, but comets are not that unusual. But the problem is most of the time you can't really see the comet. Because they're really dim. And you'll read a report and it'll say, all right, well, look up into this one corner of the sky and you might see something that looks like a very dim, dusty-looking star. And that's the comet.
Yeah.
But this comet apparently is actually pretty bright.
Oh.
There is a comet called Neowise, and it has already gone around the sun. There was earlier reports when I was researching this for the podcast said that, you know, they weren't sure if it was going to survive. Because sometimes comets, they get close to the sun and they just sort of melt and dissolve. Yeah. This one has made it around the sun and it's on its way back out into space. But it's really visible right now in the sky. It is a brightness of around -1 to +1 magnitude. And I didn't know what that meant when I read that, so I looked it up. -1 magnitude is actually pretty bright. So that it's a... like an inverse thing where the lower the number, the brighter the object.
Oh. What would the sun be, for instance?
The sun, for instance. I looked this up. Here we go. The sun, our sun from Earth, is a -29.3 magnitude.
Okay, so it's going to be like around one out of, or about like 1.3.
No, that's the sun from Mercury.
Oh, okay.
Our sun from Earth is a -26.74.
Oh, it's actually not much.
Yeah.
That's not much.
Because Mercury and Earth are, you know, not that different, really. A full moon is a -12.9 from Earth.
Hmm.
So that's pretty bright. But the...
what's Venus from Earth?
Venus, I'm glad you asked because I have that here. Venus is one of the brightest stars in the sky. I mean, it's really a planet, but it's one of the brightest. And the planet Venus seen from Earth is a -2.98.
Okay, so not as bright as Venus.
Magnitude. But the planet Mars is -2.94. It's about the same. So when you get closer, like a -1.47 is Sirius, which is a pretty bright star. The planet Saturn is a -0.55. And it's visible in the sky. Like, you don't need binoculars to just see Saturn if you know where to look at. The star Alpha Centauri is about
Alpha Centauri.
You're right. Alpha Centauri is... it sounds like century, though. That's why. I think it messed me up. Alpha Centauri A that star, which is a pretty bright star still. And in fact, it's the fourth brightest star, according to this, is a negative 0.01. So it's almost exactly zero.
Oh.
So the fact that this comet is negative one to plus one means it's definitely within the range of like the bright stars in the sky. And you can see it like right before the sun comes up. And you should be able to see, like with a visible eye, you should be able to see the tail also. And the tail is even visible in photographs, which is pretty good for a comet.
Yeah.
It's going to get closer to the Earth. It's you never know with a comet, apparently, what it's going to do. It could the tail could start to extend as it leaves the sun. I don't know. I want to check it out. I want to get up maybe sometime right before the sun comes up. And then the further it gets, so right now it is right about the area of Gemini in the sky. It's going to pass right below the Big Dipper. And like later this month, it'll go right below the Big Dipper. And it will be visible like in all evening long. So you won't have to get up super early to look at it. I don't know. It's kind of cool. There's a lot of stuff going on in the sky this month. Like, I think Jupiter and Saturn are both going to be visible later this month, and there will also be a meteor shower.
Oh, that's later this cool. month.
It's got me thinking, I hope we have a lot of clear skies, because I actually think maybe, I'm thinking about maybe buying a new telescope.
Ooh.
Because our telescope's not working that well. Our old one that I bought a long time ago. I'm thinking maybe now's the time to buy a telescope, because there's all these different things in the sky. I kind of wish we lived in a place that had dark skies, like where we went to the ranch that we talked about on the podcast a few weeks ago. That would be an awesome place. I'm sure on the ranch you can see this comet really well. Anyway, so yes, there's a new comet. It is called Neowise, or if you want to be very technical, it's called Comet C/2020 F3. But everyone's referring to it as Neowise, which is a better name.
You want
to share your story?
Yeah, my story is something that I guess got recommended to a lot of people in our family on the news. It's from National Geographic, and it's called How Snakes Can, quote-unquote, Fly, because apparently there's flying snakes now.
Flying snakes.
I was just noticing right before this podcast that, like, first we had murder hornets in one corner of America, then the other corner in Florida, now we have flying snakes.
Yeah. Yeah, this showed up a lot on Twitter because people were like, all right, what else are you going to do, 2020? Now, like, snakes are flying through the air?
Okay, I actually saw a video of it. It's not actual flying. It's just, like, sort of gliding. Like, they still seem to fall at sort of normal speed, but they can, like, go forward, like, kind of fast in the air. And
they kind of, like, jump from tree to tree, I guess, is what they do, which is weird.
Which isn't actual flying, but still.
It's like the way flying squirrels fly.
Yeah.
Like, they don't actually fly either. They just kind of glide.
The article says, a new study using unprecedented filming, 3D modeling, and snakes both real and plastic has shown how flying snakes angle and arrange themselves to achieve optimal lift.
So, like a lot of news stories, this was spurred by a scientific study. This is a story, after all. This is a story about science! Flying snake science, to be precise.
Found in Southeast and South Asia, and I guess now Florida, I guess. I just said I guess like three times. Five.
They have them in Florida now, too? That's crazy.
I thought I heard that.
Yeah, so murder hornets are in Seattle and on the clear other part of the country.
Yeah.
Flying snakes.
Found in Southeast and South Asia, Chrysopelli snakes species have been observed twisting their ribs and flattening their bodies in midair, but this doesn't fully explain how the reptiles control their descent. Other snakes flatten their bodies as well, says Jake Socha, a biologist at Virginia Tech. For example, king cobras can flatten their hoods for defensive purposes. To find out what else enables the snakes to glide, Socha and his colleagues used four cameras to record four flying snakes as they leaped off a five-story tower to another smaller tower several dozen yards away.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but is there anything scarier than when a cobra like flattens its hood? That's like one of the scariest things in the animal kingdom, I think, like the cobra that gets all like puffs itself up.
I don't know what that really looks like.
You know what that looks like, right?
No.
It's like when you think of cobras. Like, cobras have that. I'll show you a picture.
They have that hood thing.
Yeah.
But what would flattening it be?
Well, because cobras on their own, you know, they don't normally have that shape. They're just like snake-shaped. But when they get all excited, they look like that.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the freakiest, scariest-looking things. Like, I don't know why. I think that makes cobras by far the scariest snake. To me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I would agree.
Anyway, but these snakes can do that and somehow like glide through the air doing that.
Okay, that actually kind of makes sense.
I guess they're making little wings, sort of.
Also, now's a good time to mention that I don't really fully understand what this article is saying. The team used the images to create 3D computer models of the reptile's body positions during flight. The images and models revealed that the snakes position their bodies at 25-degree angles as they fall, heads up, tails down. The effect is similar to what happens when you stick your arm out of a moving car and rotate your hand so the palm is pointed slightly upward. Your hand is now angled to the oncoming flow, and that angle helps push the air down. As a consequence, your hand goes up.
It also makes me think of, have you ever seen like videos of people with wingsuits that like jump off mountains in a wingsuit and then like glide?
I haven't seen that.
Oh,
you can. Sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying, but they have like these wingsuits that they like climb into or like wear, I guess, and they can jump off cliffs and like kind of essentially just glide like bats.
Huh.
Or like flying squirrels. But I guess that's what the snakes are doing. They're just diving head first and just aiming themselves using the wind.
It says the chrysopelli snakes, which can grow up to 4 feet or 1.2 meters long, also hold their bodies in S-shaped configurations while gliding. The computer model suggests that this twisty position helps them stay aloft. Subsequent experiments proved the software right. The team tested the aerodynamics of different snake shapes using plastic models in a water tunnel. Our research suggests that with an S configuration, the snake gets more lift than it would if it were a straight snake, says Socha, whose initial flying snake research was funded by the National Geographic Society's Committee for Research and Exploration. With an S configuration, the front part of the snake might be creating a wake that interacts with and lifts the back parts of the body, Socha said. This is similar to the lift created when geese fly in a V formation. The wake generated by the lead goose makes flying marginally easier for the geese directly behind, and so on. At least one mystery remains. Why do flying snakes undulate their bodies as they fall? By the way, what does undulate mean?
It means like ripple, like a ripple effect, undulating effect.
Oh, okay. Socha's team thinks, but hasn't proven, that this rippling motion might help sustain the snake's flight by creating a flow of the air over the top of the snake's body. This reduces pressure on top, creating a greater pressure difference from bottom to top, and increasing the net upward force, Socha explained.
That's kind of wild to think about snakes jumping from tree to tree and like twisting their bodies through the wind. It's also kind of terrifying.
Cool. Yeah.
Like if you're like walking through the trees below them.
Oh, no, it didn't suddenly sneeze. Never mind.
Suddenly a snake falls on you. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. It's kind of creepy. But also kind of cool. I have one last story, and this one is also kind of on brand for 2020. Apparently, the city next to ours, the city of Plano, Texas, they had their firework display yesterday on the 4th, and they had to cancel it because a fire broke out.
Oh.
Yeah. Well. A wildfire started because about 19 minutes into the show, a 6-inch mortar exploded inside its launching tube and resulted in a chain reaction of explosions from nearby mortars, according to Plano Fire Rescue.
Oh, gosh.
The fireworks display was at a place called Levon Farms, which was a little bit different from where they usually hold it, so that they could do more social distancing. It was a place a little higher up, and they were sending the fireworks higher into the sky. But something went wrong, and they started a grass fire, and they had to close down the show about 10 minutes before what would have been the finale.
Oof.
And it took them about an hour to put out the fire.
Thank you, 2020.
Yes. There was also social media posts that showed it looked like fireworks were headed for the crowd.
Oh.
Like, for the spectators. This just seems like something that would only happen in 2020.
Yeah.
Things did not go well. We did not go to a fireworks show last night, other than the fireworks that were being let in our neighborhood.
Yeah. Someone needs to go up to 2020 and give them a good talk about what's acceptable.
Yes. So many things that are happening this year are just not acceptable. I agree. So, yes, the Plano fireworks show had to be closed down because it started a wildfire. No one was hurt, and the farm was fine, but it did take them an hour to put the fire out.
Dang it, it was mildly inconvenient.
And they also had to show up the next day. The fireworks team that was supposed to be doing the show had to show up, figure out how to get the unignited fireworks off of the out of there.
Yeah, how safely. Would you do that?
I don't know. I guess the same way you got them there. You just have to carefully make sure they don't spark. So yes, 2020, what a year.
Oh boy.
Let's do something we haven't done in a while. Let's do some would you rather. And would you rather, as we've said before, is a little bit like a hypothetical and a little bit like an either or. What I just said was only, either or. So let's look for a would you rather. Ooh, this is a hard one. I've never seen this one before. I feel like we're starting to recycle some, so I have to find some that are unique.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather be lost in a desert or be lost at sea?
A desert, I guess, because like at sea you can't do anything. In a desert you can like find stuff, I guess.
I do feel like you'd be easier to spot in a desert than in the sea, because the sea is just so huge.
Yeah.
I guess the thing is, though, like if you're in a desert, I guess either way you still need water and food.
But the thing about being lost at sea, you can't
drink seawater. So you still gonna need to find water.
Yeah, that's true. And also, like, you'd need, like, land, and you wouldn't have land if you're lost at sea.
True. But the desert is pretty barren, and it would be really hot.
At least you'd be able to, like, sleep and stuff. And there's, like, some plants. I don't know.
I feel like your chances of leaving the desert would be better than being lost at sea.
Yeah, definitely. I think...
And a chance of being rescued a little bit better in the desert.
Yeah, desert, definitely.
So 63% said desert. We both said desert. Mm-hmm. We're in the majority here. Only 37% said be lost in sea. Let's find another one. Here's a good one. Would you rather lose your wallet or lose your phone?
That's a good question.
I think this is one that's changed over the years. I think 20 years ago, everyone would be like, well, absolutely my phone. I'd rather lose my phone than my wallet. But now I think most people would say your phone. And in fact...
Yeah.
I would rather have my phone with me than my wallet because right now my phone can act like a wallet.
Yeah, you can like do
Because I've got like Google Pay on my phone or I can...
Or PayPal,
actually, yeah, I can use my phone to pay for things. My wallet would be bad to lose, but I feel like I'm worse off without
I mean, I don't have a wallet, so...
Yeah. And I don't really use a wallet much anymore. I've noticed during the pandemic, a lot of times I'll leave the house without my wallet, and I never did before. But like... Two or three times I've shown up at the store and didn't have my wallet with me. But luckily I figured out how to pay with my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have my phone, I'll always know if I have my phone with me. A lot of times I don't know if I don't have my wallet with me.
But the thing is like...
I would rather lose my wallet than my phone.
Also, you couldn't like... Like let's say you left one of them at a restaurant. Like you couldn't call the restaurant with your wallet to see if you left it.
Well, that would be a good reason to lose your phone, I guess.
Yeah. Or no. All I'm saying is that, like, it'd be better to leave your wallet at a restaurant than your phone because you can't call the restaurant with your wallet.
I see what you're saying. You can, yeah. Okay, I caught up with you.
Yeah.
55% said lose your wallet and 45% said lose your phone. So that was a pretty close one. But yes, more people would rather lose their wallet than lose their phone. I think wallets are easier to replace than phones these days, too.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Looking for another one. Here's a good one. And I know I feel strongly about this one. Would you rather work in a group or work alone? This is a personality test, really.
Depends on the group, actually.
It does, right? But you have to answer this question.
I
don't give you any more information.
That's very vague.
I feel strongly about this one, and I probably shouldn't.
Alone?
I would rather work alone, because group projects can be difficult.
Really
apparently
depends.
We're not in the majority on this one.
54% it really depends.
Said work in a group. Only 46% said work alone. You know, I saw this on Twitter as well. Someone said that the pandemic is like the worst group project because people, not everyone is cooperating. People are just not doing their part.
Yep. That and that's actually the problem. Sounds right.
That's the problem with group projects is...
What if some people like just don't do it?
I always end up doing way more work than the other people in the group because I care.
Or the other way around sometimes for me.
Yeah. You don't want to be the person that's not doing the work. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But only 46% said work alone. 54% said work in a group. Oh, here's an interesting one. I like this one. I've never seen this one before, though, but I like this one a lot. I think this is a good one to discuss. Would you rather be able to see up to 5 minutes into the future or change decisions up to 5 minutes in the past? So either you can see what's coming 5 minutes in the future, or you get like a redo button.
They sound kind of similar. I guess redo. I feel like that'd be like just a better version of seeing things in the future.
5 minutes in the future is not a lot of time in the future, but it's enough that you could sort
of
avoid.
But like you could go back and avoid it if you could just go back and edit your past.
But then you can just change those decisions after they've happened.
Well, yeah, and like you know what the correct decision is if you go back and edit it because you can just keep on doing that.
Yeah, I guess the advantage of seeing it first, like say it's you're going to get whacked in the head with a board.
Then you could just go back and then dodge it.
But I think you still get hit. You just go, oh, I want to change that. Like if you can see it coming, then you can avoid it.
But also you wouldn't still have the pain if you changed that.
Yeah. I like, it would be really nice, like in a conversation, to know, like, if you say something stupid, you can, like, nope, fixing that. Like, I immediately regret what I just said.
Yeah, or like, I don't know. Yeah, I think I'd rather.
Think what other circumstances would actually be helpful.
Like,
5 minutes is not a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Guess past, then.
It's more like a video game type thing. Like, it's more helpful in video games than it is in real life, I feel like.
I guess, yeah.
Right? But I do kind of like the idea of changing decisions up to 5 minutes in the past. I don't know. But do you really know the consequence of your decision with only 5 minutes? Now I'm waffling.
Dang.
I'm going to say see 5 minutes in the future, and you're saying change decisions.
I'm saying change decisions.
You're sticking with that one. Okay, let's see. More people agree with you. 54% said change decisions up to 5 minutes in the past.
Maybe it's because I'm right.
46% said be able to see up to 5 minutes into the future. All right, so that is would you rather. There's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is
three words for you: treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
All right. So for treat yourself, we have some sodas. And some candy.
Oh, okay.
Let's start with the sodas. We've got something called Moxie. I don't know what this is. It's the Moxie Original Elixir. It kind of looks like maybe a cola drink. But we'll try it. Some kind of Moxie soda. It says it's distinctively different. It is from Bedford, New Hampshire, bottled by the Orca Beverage Company in Washington. Wait, I don't know. I'm confused. Bottled in Washington, but under authority of the Cornucopia Beverage Company in Bedford, New Hampshire. Let's check it out. And then we also have some Sioux City Prickly Pear Soda.
Ooh, that sounds good.
That actually does sound really good.
I don't know.
This one looks interesting. I know, like when we were at the ranch in Central Texas, there were a lot of prickly pear cactuses.
None of them like had the pears though.
Yeah, I think they're seasonal. I think it's too late in the season, but earlier in the spring, they have prickly pears that you could eat. But you can actually eat those, and I guess you can make prickly pear juice out of them, or even prickly pear soda, perhaps. I don't know. So, which one do we want to try first, Moxie or prickly pear soda?
I think the prickly pear soda.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Sioux City prickly pear soda. Nice picture of a cactus on the front of it. I will pour a little bit, pass it around. It's a weird pinkish purple color.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's kind of cool, I guess.
Ooh, the fizz is super pink.
Looks more dark red from
here.
And
it smells very weird.
Yeah, but in the cup, it looks more pink purple.
Yeah, especially like the fizz. The fizz is super pink.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, isn't it strange? What do you guys think?
It tastes like almost really good, but it also kind of tastes like someone accidentally like spilled some salt in it. So
yeah,
it's not
kind of,
quite
it's a
there.
Bit tart.
It tastes yeah, like if you made it, a... It tastes like if you made a soda based off of, like, your grandma's candy that's been, like, lying in her house for years.
I kind of like it. It kind of tastes like a little bit tarter raspberry. Like, a little bit raspberry flavor.
Yeah, I really like it.
I think I'll give it a delicious, actually. Because so, it's pretty good.
So
it's a little weird.
It's like...
M-E-H.
Henry says meh.
Yeah, it's like you took something that was delicious, then added a bunch of salt.
I think
that's
it's
what it tastes like.
Just barely a delicious. It's weird, but it's still pretty good.
And I'm going to give it a solid delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I liked it. That was pretty good. All right, let's try Moxie soda. I don't know what this smell tastes like. What do you guys think of Moxie soda?
It's kind of gingery, but... And normally I don't really like gingery stuff, but I actually like this.
It tastes like really, really herby root beer.
Yeah, I kind of like it. Delicious.
To me, it tastes like
good.
Somewhere right in between... Root beer and RC Cola.
Yeah, it's like...
Like a mix of those.
It's so herby, it's like almost minty.
Yes.
Yeah. Almost. I think I'll give it a delicious. It's pretty good.
Me too.
I like it too. I will call it delicious. It's kind of weird, a little bit different.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
But pretty good. All right. And then I also have... saw this in the store. It is... Red Vines Mini Bites in orange cream and root beer flavor.
Ooh, they sound good.
Ooh, that actually sounds really good.
Orange cream and root beer flavored Red Vines licorice. I've never seen these before. They sound like they have potential.
I remember there was a really good Treat Yourself like about a year or two ago where you had these like filled orange popsicle Twizzlers. And I wonder if these will be able to beat that.
I don't know. Let's try them out. They smell good. Take, I don't know, a couple of each flavor and pass them around. What do you guys think of the Red Vines, what are they called? Red Vines Mini Bites Orange Cream and Root Beer.
I think this is proof that, like, red Twizzlers may not be as good as Red Vines, but I think Twizzlers definitely have way better varieties. I don't love these.
I feel like Red Vines don't deserve to be bites. Like... Because the texture just doesn't work with bites.
Yeah. Here's one thing that's weird is, like, usually when you have little pieces of licorice, they're not usually hollow. Like,
yeah.
These are hollow.
Yeah.
Like, if you took a Red Vine. So Red Vines and Twizzlers, too, are, like, hollow like a straw. And it's like you just took and you cut it into little segments. Usually if you have, like, something as a little piece of licorice, it's not usually hollow.
Mm.
Something I noticed. Also, the flavor is not that great.
I'll give that an okay.
That's what
it's
I think.
Bad.
I think they're okay, but they're not delicious.
I'd give them an okay, but I feel like I could like mindlessly snack on these.
Yeah.
So I feel like it. I should give it delicious.
I think
of
this
that.
Package is going to disappear. I don't think we'll have to throw it out.
Yeah, I think we'll give it a low delicious.
I don't think I'll get into that package.
Yum, yum, yum,
it seems
yum,
like
yum.
A type of thing
delicioso.
That, like, would just be kind of
just a little bit, just a little disappointing.
Yeah,
but not terrible.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. But not as good as it. I was hoping it might be. And I think that's where I'm at with the Red Vines Mini Bites. So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, Will, for joining us for Treat Yourself and for talking about giving blood.
Thank you.
Thanks, Henry, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
And thank you especially to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at TalkToDabPodcast@gmail.com. If you want to email us, we're at TalkToDabPodcast on Facebook and Instagram. And If you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And two, you can leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast. If you leave us a 5-star review, if you subscribe, rate, and review us, it helps us out by getting the word out there and making it a little bit easier for other people to find the podcast as well. So everyone who has given us a 5-star review, we very much appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for-